Hello and welcome to the That's My Truth podcast. I'm your host, Juliana, and I'm so glad you're tuning in today. If you are a first-time listener, I'd like to welcome you to the show. And if you are a returning listener, I'd like to welcome you back to another episode. This podcast features discussions with people who I admire and look up to about everything from career and wellness to social issues and friendship. If you are looking for ways to support the show, there are a few ways. First, you can leave a review or rating in Apple Podcasts. Second, you can share an episode with a friend or share it on social media. And lastly, you can follow us on social media and anywhere we are present online. So check us out. But overall, more than anything, you listening is the most supportive thing you can do. So thank you for tuning in. Hello and welcome to the That's My Truth podcast. We have episode number 33 today, and today's interview is with Holly Simmons. So Holly is the owner of She Loves Me, which is an amazing flower shop in DC. If you don't follow them on Instagram, please do. She Loves Me DC. They post the best photos of flowers, weddings, just all sorts of fun inspiration. So this episode was special for me to record because I have looked up to Holly kind of from a distance for quite some time because, first of all, She Loves Me is just amazing. And I also just really admire people who are in the creative field, who open their own business, who really just go for it. And that's what, from my perspective, that's what Holly is. Yeah, overall, it was just a great experience for me and a lovely interview. So I won't talk too much about it, and I will now turn it over to the interview, but make sure to follow Holly or She Loves Me on Instagram and check out their website so that you can stay tuned on all of the new and exciting things to come. All right, so I will now turn it over to the interview, and I hope you enjoy it. So hi, Holly. Thanks for chatting today. I'm excited to have you on. To start us off, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Absolutely. So my name is Holly Simmons, and I am the founder and owner of She Loves Me, which is a flower shop based in DC with two new locations on the way.
Awesome. Yeah, very exciting about She Loves Me opening new locations. So you mentioned She Loves Me, and I've been there, well, to your original location, and I loved it. So I'm curious about the origin story. Can you talk about how it came to be?
Absolutely. So my background is actually in journalism. So I was at the Washington Post for 5 years. And prior to the Washington Post, I was at National Public Radio. So for over 10 years, I worked in the journalism field. And on the side, just started getting really enamored by succulents. So my love of flowers and plants really was born from succulents. I started teaching terrarium classes on my dining room table about like 6 or 7 years ago. This is before, now you can get succulents at like Home Depot and Trader Joe's, but back in the day, it was like hard to get your hands on them. And I would have them shipped in from California and would teach classes on my, again, in my home. And word spread just by word of mouth, and I was hosting multiple classes a week on the weekends, still going into the office at the Post, and finally reached a point where I was like, this is viable as a business. I'm gonna ask, first I asked for 2 months off. I asked my editor if I can have 2 months off, and he was like, no. So I was like, okay, I think I'm gonna leave. While it sounds scary to like just quit your job and pursue a career in terrariums, I don't necessarily would not recommend that. I had seen that there was a lot of interest. I was starting to get inquiries for weddings. You know, it was something that I knew that if I had more time and space to devote to it, I could really, make a career out of it. So that's what I did. I took 2 months off. I traveled a little bit. Just because I had been working so much, literally, like, by the time I got to the office, I had spent, like, you know, $50 on Uber, going to pick up soil and picking up glass bowls. Like, it was a hustle for for a year, just kind of like driving around, getting Ubers everywhere, teaching, writing, but I loved it. That was the other thing. Like, I could not get enough. I was never too tired to teach or too tired to read something about a new type of plant. And though my, you know, quote unquote career began in plants, it very naturally evolved into flowers. People would ask me, can you do succulents for our weddings? And, oh, you know, we need a bouquet as well. So, you know, about a few years ago, I really started focusing on flowers because I found that I just enjoyed them more. They're more interactive to me in a sense. You know, they're more expressive and they're a completely different medium. And I was drawn more to flowers. So fast forward, my friend purchased a building in Petworth. He owns Timber Pizza across the street. And he reached out to me and he was like, hey, you know, I'm really trying to do something cool with the neighborhood. We've got the pizza place across the street. Would you be interested in, you know, opening a flower shop here in Petworth? And I went to see the space, and it had previously been a shoe repair shop for 51 years, owned by this adorable old Italian couple. And it looked like a shop that had been around for 51 years. You know, it was like kind of dusty, cobwebs. Mm-hmm. And but I saw it and I was like, oh my God, this is beautiful. You know, I just kind of like saw through the bad paint job and the holes in the floors. And I was like, I had no intention of opening a flower shop ever, but here we are. And, you know, I know a good opportunity when I see one. So I said yes, signed a 2-year lease. And that was a little over 2 years ago.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yes.
So did you have to do a lot of like repairs and updates to the space itself?
Oh yeah. And that's not something that for anybody who's interested in opening a shop, I'm just going to be very like candid and I actually love discussing money. So, you know, when you are leasing a space or renting a property, you often don't get money to improve it. No one will give you money to transform it. But I knew what I wanted to do with it. I knew the level of, you know, a vibe that I wanted to create. So I did invest about $5,000 in renovations. So,
oh wow,
redoing the floor, putting up new lighting, hanging wallpaper. And these are things that I can't recoup, you know, like no one is going to pay me back for them. And I can't charge people
right.
for the wallpaper. There's no like wallpaper fee when you come shop with us. but it was something that was a priority for me and important for me to create a cool environment. So it was an expense, but it was worth it.
Yeah. Okay. So by that point, you had already had the business and, right, like the succulent business?
Yeah. So I had the succulent business that was called Sill Life, like a windowsill. I thought it was like a cute little play on words, like still life paintings and still life plant care. But then when I opened the flower shop, I rebranded as She Loves Me. And kind of, I still teach terrariums. I actually just taught a workshop today. I can't believe after 7 or 8 years, I'm still teaching. but we still do it. But the focus again now is primarily on flowers.
I see. Okay. Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
So I know before you started She Loves Me, you also co-founded the Lemon Collective, right?
Yes.
Do you want to talk about that? And like the whole initiative? Okay.
Yeah, I would love to. So right after I left my full-time job reporting, I threw myself into a company that I founded with two of my really good friends, Catherine Zaremba and Lenny Giffen. And the Lemon Collective was our shared space where we hosted workshops and we invited artists from around DC to also host workshops. So not only did we teach, but we would, you know, reach out to candle makers and punch needle artists and be like, hey, your work is so cool. Like, come and teach with us. We'll help you sell tickets. And now like multiple companies do that throughout DC, like Steadfast Supply, ShopMade DC, all these places host these creative workshops. So it doesn't sound that novel, but at the time it was like one of the only places you can go to learn a new skill. And we kind of saw it as a cool place to hang off drinking alcohol or, you know, like spending a ton of money. Like you could come and take all sorts of community-based classes. And that was where I did most of my flower arranging. And, you know, when we did have weddings, I would use that space to create. But, you know, being a shared space, it was a little inconvenient if there was a class going on in 20 minutes and I was in the middle of like arranging stuff for a wedding. So I would have to move everything off the table. Like it just was not ideal. So again, when that opportunity came for the pet workshop, I jumped at it.
She Loves Me started as like a little part of the Lemon Collective.
So it was a separate, a completely separate space. The Lemon Collective was on Georgia Avenue, and She Loves Me was up in on Upshur Street. Yeah.
Very cool.
And eventually we moved. It's a little confusing, but eventually we moved the Lemon Collective next door to She Loves Me. But then after a year, we shut it down just because it was hard. We were all going our separate ways, and I was trying to really get She Loves Me off the ground. So, you know, it was really beautiful and fun while it lasted, but I think it served its purpose and, you know, definitely helped me build a buzz for these terrarium classes and just classes in general.
Yeah, that's so cool. So I guess like you've had a couple of businesses. So I'm just curious, like, when you were growing up, did you dream of owning a business or did your parents have a business? Because like you're very creative and entrepreneurial.
That's a great question. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs you talk to definitely have that like in their lineage. You know, there's always someone they can point to. For me, it was my mother. When I grew up, she was an accountant, a real estate agent, a broker, a seamstress. And she was a seamstress for most of my childhood. So growing up, you know, she designed wedding dresses and ballroom gowns for ballroom dancing, which if you've ever seen them, they have like feathers and rhinestones. Like it was a dream for a child. So I grew up helping her like glue rhinestones to bodices, and I would like steam wedding gowns. And, you know, it was just like a glimpse at, not that I knew at the time because I was just a kid, but it was like a look at a really cool way to support yourself. And, you know, my father, technically he's a lawyer, but he's a pianist. We have three grand pianos, two in our house and one at his law office. It's actually in the lease when you join his, if you like open an office within his development, you have to be practicing the piano all day. So, while it's like a more traditional path, like he was definitely an artist, first and foremost. So I think having a little bit of like unique flavor as a kid, followed me along the way, and definitely having an artistic mother, in terms of like sewing and, you know, she would never just let me watch TV. You know, I would have to be like, embossing or stamping, you know, there was always a craft. So I was always kept my hands really busy. So
that's awesome. Yeah, that's a good way to grow up, honestly, because then you learn to keep yourself busy, like outside of causing trouble, looking at a screen.
Listen, I still cause a lot of trouble. I still found the time. But I am a child. So it was, you're right. It's a nice way to like preoccupy yourself and to always stay busy.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool. So your mom was a wedding seamstress or a seamstress who worked on wedding dresses. And I know, especially from your Instagram, which is so beautiful, that you do flowers for weddings. And I think you specifically do micro weddings, and that could just be a coincidence with COVID or it could just be a business choice. But yeah, do you like doing weddings?
I used to not like doing weddings. Like to give you a little bit of background about our services, we do large scale events and weddings, but during COVID we started doing more micro weddings, and it's a trend that I love seeing stick around a little bit. Bigger weddings are still like definitely coming back. But I didn't used to like weddings because it's a lot of
advanced work. It's very emotional work. You know, you get to know a couple, you meet their mom, you look at their dress. It's an ongoing relationship for sometimes over a year, because that's about when people book a lot of their vendors. Mm-hmm. And so it took a real toll. Like, it's a lot, again, it's a lot of work. So I always wasn't crazy about weddings until another florist friend of mine, she was like, yeah, but when they're done, they're done. You know, like, we had plant care clients, like, we would take care of their plants every week, and like, that never ends. You know, there's always something's always dying despite your best efforts. And I was like, oh God, you're right. It's like more of a project basis than, an ongoing service. So that's the day I was like, oh, hell yeah, I love weddings. Like, let's get as many weddings as possible. So that's a good question, though. Thank you for asking that.
Oh, you're welcome. That's funny that sometimes it is just like one person saying something that can change your whole mindset. Yeah. And it's something as simple as that. I feel like I wanted to ask you about the flowers. So where do you get the flowers? Like, where do you source them from? All of that.
So during the warmer months, about like 8 or 9 months out of the year, we work, 90% of the flowers we get are from local farms. So, Two Boots Farm out in Maryland, Hill and Homestead is out in Maryland. Wallum Gardens is out in Virginia, all locally grown, all organic. Grateful Gardeners, as well as another farm that we work with. And farmers are just some of the hardest working, kindest people you will ever meet. Sometimes they care more about a wedding than I care a lot, but they're like, but this pink isn't exactly what you asked for. And I'm like, it's okay. Like, I'll make it work. I'll blend it. But these farmers are just like one of my favorite parts of running She Loves Me, and a big part of, I think, what sets us apart, because we've developed these relationships, because, you know, I've got them all on speed dial. Oftentimes, if they have a really cool flower or something that is just like mind blowing, they'll set it aside for us, you know, and oh, I think that's not something every florist can say. There are definitely florists throughout DC and Maryland, Virginia, who also work with local farmers. So it's not exclusive to us, but it's something that I take a lot of pride in, and relationships are just in general really important to me. And then during the other months, the colder months, when there's nothing growing, nothing local to be had, we work with a floral wholesaler in Silver Spring. It's called Potomac Wholesale, and it's where like 99% of the florists in DC get their materials. They're importers from all over the world. We try to focus primarily on American-grown flowers when we do have to work with the wholesaler. But, you know, there's something like roses, for example, a lot of them are grown in South America. So, you know, we do our best. And I know the wholesaler also does their best to source local, you know, source American and organic. So.
So cool. So interesting, too. Like, I feel like flowers are something we see all the time, but you don't, and this you could say about a lot of things, you don't necessarily know where they come from,
right?
Like food and flowers. So yeah, I appreciate that you form those relationships.
It's more work. It's hard sourcing local. You know, they don't produce in huge quantities. So it takes more time. It's more challenging. You know, I have to sit down every week and look at their availability list, and you have to get there fast before any other florists do. Like, It's definitely an extra step. But again, it's really important to me to develop those relationships and to, in turn, offer our clients something really unique and really special.
So I have a question about how you learned about flowers and all of that, because like you learned about succulents, I think, from trial and error, it sounds like. But how did you know like the basics of flower arranging and things like that?
I mean, that's really nice of you to even imply that I know what I'm doing. because I'm still learning every day. But in the beginning, it was just a lot of YouTube. Truly, there are so many resources, no matter what you want to do. So if you wake up tomorrow and decide you want to start a mead company, like a honey beer, I'm sure that there is somebody teaching you how to do it. So I always encourage people, like, don't let that hold you back from trying something new, because there's always ways to learn it. And, you know, fortunately, flowers are a beautiful medium. So even when you do mess up, it still looks really pretty. The technique might be lacking, or, you know, it may not be like aesthetically perfect, but even a bad bouquet is beautiful.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, but I will say this last year, I've really invested in the education, you know, in the education department of floristry. I hired a mentor. I signed up for these like weekly flower classes that are just incredibly helpful. And I'm like, oh, that's how you're supposed to use that. Or, oh, that's what that flower is good for. And I think, you know, being the daughter of a creative and being within a family of folks that have a lot of different facets and do a lot of different things, I've never been afraid to try something. You know, I'm a little shameless when it comes to that. If I mess up, I'm like, cool, now I know a way not to do that, you know, and the more I mess up, the better I get. So every mistake, I'm like, awesome, thank you, I will never do that again. So I think just, and you're going to mess up too, no matter what, flowers or anything, recording podcasts, you know, and then you learn, like we talked about her, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And you also, didn't you recently start during COVID, like a learning secret garden?
Yes.
Very cool.
Yeah, basically once a week we release a short video on Instagram. We did hit pause on it just because it was, it takes a lot of resources. We have to videotape it, the materials, and I just really wanted to focus on getting these new shops off the ground. So we have hit pause on that. But the online classes for us, it was a way for me to continue teaching throughout COVID, because I really missed that. And it was by no means like a replacement for in-person teaching and workshops. But it was an excuse for me to share a skill and put on some lipstick. So, you know, cannot complain about that. But now that in-person workshops have resumed, I'm like over the moon. We cannot wait to do more of those.
Yeah, that's awesome. I also, you're kind of a trendsetter, you know, like with the terrarium and then with the classes. You're leading the way.
I've always known this. It's just nice to hear someone else say it.
Yeah. Okay, so as a florist / flower shop owner, my dog is crying. Which events or moments in life do you think need more flowers?
Oh, I love that question. One of my favorite things at the shop is when people send themselves flowers. And I can always tell because it's like from me to me. And then even the notes, like write personal notes, which I think is just like so sweet. It's like, hey, you, I'm so proud of you. Keep going. You've had a hard year, you know, it's just these like really sweet messages to themselves. And for those orders, I always tuck a few extra flowers in and I'm like, aww, you're going to get okay. So I think just like everyday occasions for yourself, people deserve more flowers in that respect. Yeah, just small wins, I think. I think flowers make everything better.
I love that. Yeah, that's sweet. I'm sure it's nice to see the notes.
Yeah,
I love that. So what are your, I know there's a lot on the horizon, like with these new shops, but in general, what are your goals for She Loves Me?
That is another great question. All the hard-hitting
I know.
So definitely building out our workshops again. You know, we have been able to actually grow through the pandemic, grow during COVID, which we're very fortunate to come out on the other end with more services, more employees, more locations. So in my mind, I'm like, if we were able to grow during like a world shutdown, like what the hell can we do when things are back up and running? So for starters, the last 2 years, we've organized something called Dahlia Day. It happens every fall. It's usually when the farmers reach out to me and they say, oh my gosh, we're swimming in dahlias. We don't know what to do with all these dogs. Help us like move them. And the first year we did it in shop in October. And for every dahlia sold, we donated $1 to IUTA, which is a it's an area organization. They provide free legal services to at-risk immigrants. So that was great. We ran out of dahlias in like a few hours. I was like, well, crap, like I gotta prepare better for this year. And then the next year it was during during the shutdown. So we added on Dahlia Day at Home. So you could have dahlias delivered to you. That was new last year, as well as an in-store event. But, you know, we limited it to like 4 people at a time within the, it's like right when the world started back up. So there was a long line and, but having that like additional delivery element was really helpful. So we sold over 1,000 dahlias last year for Dahlia Day, which
wow,
it's like the prettiest thing you can imagine, like having more than 1,000 of anything, like dahlias, it's like, oh my gosh. So, you know, with the new location, the primary flagship location is how I'm referring to it in Eckington, we're going to have twice as much space. So we'll be able to host larger events. We can host workshops inside the store. In our original shop, it was too small to So we would have to partner with restaurants, which was great. Like I loved, exposing people to a new business and partnering with other small businesses. But I will say it will be nice to not have to schlep like buckets of water across. Yeah. Oh my God. Before I bought my car, I had the worst Uber ratings in all of DC. Imagine. So yeah, just having more space to do cooler. I love parties. I love throwing parties and like coming up with parties. I'm working on some sort of like Camp She Loves Me.
Oh. I
have like a full day of like flower crafts and s'mores and just like a summer camp, but like all flower related.
Yeah. Oh, I love that idea.
I mean, I'm like endless again. Like now that there's no limits, I'm like, who's with me? Like, I need a space. I need a partner. Like, you know, I just need a place to get all these things done because the shop is still under construction. So I'm in a little bit of a holding pattern. So in the meantime, just like recording all my ideas and ferociously going to attack them once I can.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Would this be like a one day event like Camp She Loves Me?
Yeah, just a one-day thing, and who knows what it would look like next year. It depends on popularity and, where we end up to start.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have one more question specifically about She Loves Me, and it's about your Instagram, because your Instagram's beautiful, and you also have, what is it called, Flowers for Friends? I was just wondering if you could talk about the series.
Yeah, so, you know, I think Instagram is a really powerful tool for small businesses and for us in particular. You know, we have brides that reach out to us just based on our Instagram. Like they don't even know that we have like a shop necessarily or a website. I follow you on Instagram and I love your work. So not only is it a really powerful business tool, but I see it as a platform, a way to highlight people doing amazing things in the city. And again, like, I just want a reason to reach out to people and talk to people with a background in journalism. You know, I've been in your position. I've interviewed people for almost 10 years and I missed that. I missed having a reason to reach out to cool people and set up a time to hang, you know? So when I deliver the flowers for friends, we sit down, we chat, we talk, I take a couple, you know, like grainy photos and then hope that they look okay on Instagram. But it's, you know, we'll always keep it like I shoot the photos on my phone, you know, we'll always keep it really like casual. So much of the photos we share on Instagram are professional, but then, you know, we also mix in just to remind everybody that like it's just a small team back here running this.
Yeah, I love that. That's really cool. I didn't even, I guess, like, I didn't realize they were your actual friends, which maybe I should have.
They're not yet. I mean, oh. They're, like, people who I want to know.
Oh, I love that. Okay, yeah. Okay.
It's, like, you know, the quote-unquote friend, but, yeah. You know, it's people that either I've, like, heard of or I want to get to know, so it's, like, I usually reach out, and the subject line is free flowers, ? Because who wouldn't open that email?
That's so cool. Wow. You really just go for it, and I love it. It's inspiring.
Oh, you're so sweet.
So DC is a very creative and community-focused city. So I'm wondering, what are some of your favorite places and things in DC?
Well, that's a great question as well. So my background, I think I mentioned I was a food reporter. So naturally, I just have so much respect and so much love for restaurateurs in particular. So Maidan is one of my favorite places in DC. So thankful that they reopened. Now you can sit inside and dine in. I also really love Serenata, which is a restaurant and bar in the Union Market District. That whole group, they also own Colada Shop. They're just a powerhouse, you know, and they're true to their culture. They're true to their employees. They just are creating a really cool ecosystem over there. And who else? Gosh, it's tough because I'm like, when's the last time I left the house? I'm like just starting to re-enter
the world.
Yeah. So those are the first that come to mind.
Yeah, that's a good list. That's a good list. Also, I didn't even know that Colada Shop has, like, sister restaurants.
Yes. And they recently opened a location in Potomac, Maryland. So they're expanding. And I'm teaching a class there in a couple weeks, which I'm really excited about.
Oh, very cool. Okay. I'll have to look into that.
Yeah.
Okay. So those are all of my, like, main questions. Do you want to talk about anything else before I go through, like, standard questions that I have for closing?
Oh, no, I think that's good. I'll just add that our second location. So the first location will be, again, twice the size as our original shop. Floor to ceiling windows on every wall. Like, it's a dream. I cannot wait to get in there. And the second location will be a couple doors down from Rose's Luxury on Capitol on Barracks Row. And that location is actually a partnership and a type of partnership with Rose's Luxury. So the restaurant group and I will be sharing the space, and I'll be essentially like the daytime tenant, and then they'll use it in the evening for cooking, and then eventually perhaps a little tiny bar. It's a dream of mine. When Aaron, he owns Rose's Luxury, he's a friend of mine, he was like, you know, maybe we can do like a 6-seat bar and a flower shop. And I'm like, get out of here. Like, it's too much. So, I mean, that's in the works. But so the Eckington shop, the larger shop, will probably open in September.
Oh, cool.
And then the Capitol Hill shop will open earlier, I think, probably in August.
Okay. Will you have grand opening or soft opening events?
I need to, like, I've learned to not predict any openings, because the Eckington shop was supposed to be in my hands by May. So, you know, and here I am still working from home. There's just all sorts of delays, but you better believe we will throw an amazing party.
I love it. Okay, well, this has been awesome. Thanks so much for chatting. I have some closing questions that I've started to ask, like, at the end of every interview. So. Beautiful. This first one is actually my favorite. It's, what is something that you want to do someday that currently scares you?
Oh, I love that. I would love to sew more, you know, sew a dress, you know, like
from scratch. Cool.
Really plan to sew a dress. And it's not necessarily that it scares me, because, again, nothing really, like, something bigger that would scare me. Okay, I got one.
Okay. Live in Europe?
Yeah, live abroad, or not necessarily in Europe, but just, like, my boyfriend is Portuguese, so that's why I say Europe. But living abroad is something that I've wanted ever since I was little, and you know, being in love with with someone from abroad seems like maybe tangible, maybe possible in the near distant future.
So very that's cool. Yeah, I like that. Both are good answers. And living abroad.
Yeah.
Okay, this is kind of existential, but what are your goals for the next 5 years?
I think business-wise, this is not very exciting, but just streamline and systemize a lot of the way we do things. I do want to grow the business, and it's really hard to grow when there's different policies for everything. You know, like, I'll tell this person yes, but I'll tell that person no, and like, I'll make an exception for this person. But like, forming policies, sticking to them, and instilling them in employees, I see as a way to expand and to grow and to step away a little bit, because I'm way too involved on a day-to-day basis. Just leave them there. Thank you. And more for like Holly 5 years, I definitely want to continue learning. As I'm growing a team, it's really important for me to remember what it's like to be as a beginner. You know, while I'm training people, it's a good reminder to be patient. Like, maybe they've never done this before. Maybe, you know, this is their first bouquet, and I need to maintain that beginner's mindset. So, you know, exploring more things for the first time is definitely a priority for me once I have the time to pursue new pursuits.
Yeah. Trying, what is it, like, experiences that humble you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, and every single day I experience that. yeah.
Okay. Next is, what is something you recommend people read, watch, and listen to?
Okay. If you are interested in starting a business, I would absolutely recommend you read The E-Myth. It's like just the letter E, myth. It's a book that I wish I'd read years before I started my company. And it's a quick read. It's like, it was written in, I think, like the 80s or 90s. So like, every example of an amazing business they use is McDonald's. So it's a little, like, a little outdated in that sense, but it's really helpful, again, like, in thinking in a growth mindset. When you first start a company, like, when you first start a business, you're living in like 5-minute increments. And this book is like, start with what you want. Like, run a company that you want where you want it to be in 5 years.
Oh, wow.
So it's like laying a lot of the groundwork for growth and expansion. And I wish I'd read it sooner. And it would apply to any type of business, truly. I've almost, except with the exception of like business books, I read fiction pretty exclusively. So I just finished Cloud Atlas.
Oh,
I've been trying to read it for about 5 years, but finally got the the time to finish it. And watch, I just watched this crazy documentary on HBO called The Lady and the Dale. It's a 4-part documentary series about this trans woman in Detroit who started her own like car company, and she was taking on Buick and Ford, and there's lots of twists in between, and like, it's just a riveting story. And the Dale is this 3-wheel vehicle that she was trying to get off the ground, which I never knew existed. So like, it was informational, riveting, educational, and just really entertaining. So The Lady and the Dale. And then listen to, I love podcasts, as you can attest. I really love listening to Lewis Howes, School of Greatness. It's really good for entrepreneurs and people who want to better themselves and, you know, just develop good habits. A recent episode that really struck me, I can't remember the man's name, but he wrote, Procrastinate something. Oh, I'm terrible. but it, it's it was a recent episode, so if anybody's interested, it's within the last few months, and it was basically about how to manage your time better and how to systemize things so that you can free yourself and not be bogged down in day-to-day stuff and how to delegate. Just overall, it was an amazing episode that I took so much away with. So yeah, for anybody, again, a lot of it is, you know, business related, just because that's otherwise it's a flower podcast that people would be like, huh? It's like,
I didn't even know there are flower podcasts.
Oh my gosh. Botanical Brouhaha, Team Flower, the Flower Podcast, real creative name there. But yeah, there's, you scratch hard enough, you'll find a podcast on something.
Oh yeah, for sure. Okay. That's, maybe I'll check one out. Maybe I'll get into, you know, some flower arranging.
Oh, it's very soothing.
Okay. So my last question is, how can people follow and support you?
Yes. Thank you. So the website is shelovesme.com, and I spent a lot of money on the URL, so you wouldn't forget it. And we're also on Instagram at shelovesmedc. That was a little trickier to get She Loves Me handle. And no phone calls, please, because now everything is forwarded to my cell phone. But once the shop reopens, we'll have a phone number. But yeah, email through the website and Instagram. I read all of our DMs. So yeah, I'm very, very accessible.
Cool. Well, thanks so much for chatting about you and She Loves Me.
Thanks, Juliana. It's really nice to meet you. I hope to meet you in person sometime.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the That's My Treat podcast. As a reminder, everything that was mentioned during the episode will be included in the show notes, so be sure to check those out. Also, if you're looking for ways to support the show, remember that you can do so by sharing an episode with a friend, following us on social media at That's My Treat podcast on Instagram, and leaving us a rating or a review in Apple Podcasts. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we will see you next week.